the belief that there is a new compassionate male emerging in the world, and I believe that that new compassionate male is actually developing as the new archetype.
Hello, world. It's me, Dennis, and I have the pleasure once again of talking with Clay Boykin. And this time, Clay, you're on the road. On the 16th of January, 2020, tell me where you are right now and where you have just been.
Well, I'm just south of Ardmore, Oklahoma, on I-35, and it's raining. Thank goodness it's not done anything else.
What were you doing in Kansas? What called you there?
I was up there to meet with the up at the Unity Worldwide headquarters, and meet with the interim CEO, Patricia Bass, and to give her kind of a high level view of what I'm doing with the Circles of Men project. Of course, I stayed out at the Light Center, my dear friend Martin Dalman and his wife Kelly. I call him my brother from another mother.
All right, so let's break that down. Let's unpack this all the way. The first part is that you were going up to a grant writing network because this is the Circles of Men project. How do you frame this inside your own consciousness? Have you owned it to say, okay, this is what I am here on the planet to do? And could you give, for those who are just coming in and not understanding what we're doing, what the Circle of Men project is and this initiative to the new compassionate male?
Certainly. This started about 8 years ago when I started a men's circle. And it was because I needed a connection with other men that was non-traditional to men's groups. And I took a counter in from their heart and be able to speak from the heart, you know, move their lips in a different way and do it with another man and do it in a safe environment where there's no judgment and where we're holding space for one another, where we're not trying to fix one another and get a chance to just learn what it feels like to speak on a deeper level with another man. And that started 8 years ago, and we've been, every week for 8 years, and it's grown. There's over 600 men in the network around the world. I've got several circles that I've started up. The furthest one from Austin, Texas, where I'm from, is in Meru, Kenya. Where we started a circle. We had a retreat there this last summer and got a group of men there that are on the same journey.
So as the head of that, it says he cutting Clay off, and please put a pin in that and bring me back if you have. But as the head of that, now you are moving into, you want this, since you are not independently wealthy at the moment to be able to go out and to do this as your life work, as if you were Bill Gates this needs to be part of your income and part of you having the process in order for you to bring this to the world. You are now looking at ways that you can fund it.
Absolutely. When my book came out in August of 2018, I made a commitment in there to spend the next 20 years where this is my life work. This is what I'm on, where I'm most on purpose in what I'm doing. And so I left the business world, and I was working for a reason. So I, you know, this last year was, sweat equity. And to really get out there, say yes, make engagements, and really sound out what I've learned over the past 7 years at the time, and does this play more broadly? And after 35 engagements this last year, I've really kind of come down to the essence of it, and that's what you mentioned a minute ago, that at least that there is a new compassionate male emerging in the world, and I believe that that new compassionate male is actually developing as the new archetype. And yes. So last year was to find that message, and this year I am scaling it up. Matter of fact, I've got several invitations to go back to Africa. It looks like I'll go back to Kenya and do another retreat there. I was just on a phone call early this morning with my contact in Malawi. And he's setting up a week-long retreat workshop for 100 young men, and I'll be leading that workshop, and that's happening in June. And so the URI organization, as well as Charter for Compassion, who I'm associated with as well, and he is as well, this is all kind of coming into focus. And so those are two places, Kenya and Malawi. It looks like Rwanda and Uganda and possibly Congo.
Mm-hmm.
But the message here is that the people that are hearing about how we're approaching this with men are resonating with it. And in the traction, I'm getting traction with that. And now, you know, it's chicken or egg. Do I say yes and then go try to find the funding, or go and try funding first? And I'm leap of faith. I'm making the commitment to go. And I do have faith that there are people in their organizations that are out there that see what's going on and see that it is making a difference and moving the needle and changing lives, changing the trajectory of men that have grown up, you know, suffering from underneath the male patriarchy like the women have been suffering, but in their own way.
And, we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone loses, I believe, in a quantum state, which is nodal, which is what has happened, lighting up nodes, working from the bottom up. The patriarchal system, if we take away the sizzle definitions of what we have, trying to say man and woman, it's not, but the patriarchal, with the male at the head and giving the instructions that are carried out down below, is toxic for everyone. It does not work in a deeply complex and interconnected and collaborative societies.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's gotten us to where we are, both good and bad.
Exactly.
We as a species, we're more conscious. We're moving up to a higher level of consciousness that what worked in times past, which was more rigid.
Thank
you. You stay within the lines when you color and don't ask questions. You know, yep. We're at a higher level where we're asking the reasonable question of why, and we're more seekers.
Thank you.
And there is something greater out there, and this is all the expansion of humanity. And
thank you.
The patriarchal system has got to evolve. It's got to evolve forward. Now, you know, it's not going to go away completely, but there's something I believe that humanity is reaching for that says, let's go beyond that. Because face it,
thank you.
Like you said earlier, both men and women are wounded by the patriarchy. You know,
sure.
You look at me and, you know, you say, oh, well, Clay, you're a white, privileged Western male. You've got everything going for you. Well, yeah, well, let me tell you about my wounds. But yeah, but that's just face it. That's we're all carrying that, and we don't have to.
No, and the thing that I'm interested in is that if we can know that and still honor what we have had in the past, in other words, not deny it. There isn't a denial of what we have, but it has to be an and gate. This got us this far, and I think of it like a big rocket, you know, and the first stage gets us so far, but then we have to separate and let the second stage take us. And that doesn't deny the first stage. The first stage was important. It got us moving. It got us moving in that direction. The second stage now takes us into orbit and now takes us beyond.
I love the way you say that, because that's when I look at what I'm talking about, the new compassionate male as being the new archetype. You know, Carl Jung's work with archetypes as a base, Robert Moore, Douglas Gillette with the king, warrior, magician, lover. That's the second stage of that rocket. And yes, those are there. They will always be there. And they're the second level of that foundation. Now, overarching that, there's this concept of compassion. And it is embedded within all four of those archetypes. But it's a higher level. It's looking up a higher level than just king, warrior, magician, lover. And
thank you.
That's the point of coming together. And, of course, compassion, you know, as Karen Armstrong says, you know, all the great religions of the world have one thing in common, and that's the golden rule. Well, the essence of the golden rule is compassion.
Yes.
So, again, it's not rocket science here. But if we call that out,
nicely done.
Well, you get what I'm saying, and I'm passionate about it because I see it. I see it in Oklahoma and Kansas. I see it in Atlanta. I see it in Florida. I see it in Kenya. I see it in Austin. Those are all different subcultures.
Thank you.
Everybody's resonating with that.
Yep. It's one of the things that I love about the internet is because the internet has exposed me so much to around the world that lets me know that we are all going through this together. We may be at different stages of materialism, but that distance in materialism evaporates very quickly once we begin to get things like water to people.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get those basic needs met, very quickly that gets to where we're suddenly we see our commonality so much more than we see our separation, and that's where the compassion, like a compadre, like we're in this together. It's a you and me, not you or me.
Yes. You know, where are the days when the not agreeing with somebody was a rich conversation? A debate even, but you know, you do that, and you do that over lunch because you have this deeper relationship with one another. You have a natural caring for one another. You know, that's an element of compassion. And you know, in so many ways, we've apparently lost sight of that. But with that, losing sight of that, there's something festering, I know, within myself that is the fundamental spark of, I call it compassion, knowing what's right and what's wrong. And that's what's being, it's begging to get out.
Yes.
And it's shining the light on it now because of all the mess that we've got going on in the world.
And you know, but I want to push back a little bit on that in this sense, that I realize that because of the news and because of the model and being in the media, having been in the media now for over 40 years, that I understand if it bleeds, it leads. Making sure that if we highlight what has going wrong and bring it to the highest level, it can take me out of the idea. I cannot be looking at all the things that are right, that are going on. This isn't, I'm not minimizing the suffering. I mean, we have a huge amount of people who are being displaced around the world and refugees and all this. At the same time, there is arguably more peace in the world more people being going from $1 a day to $2 a day to $4 a day, more healing happening as we're seeing than has ever happened in the history. And this is where I think the momentum for the new compassionate mail, why it can get deeper, faster, broader than we possibly could have done 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. There's a timing aspect of it. People, you know, when I talk about to people in Austin, and you know me, I go around and talk to everybody in a store or whatever. It's just who I am. I'm like an Austin greeter. You know, like Walmart has a greeter, I'm an Austin greeter. I talk to people.
Yeah.
And people are so ready, Clay. They are hearing it. The new compassionate mail is a concept whose time has come.
Well, I certainly believe that. And yes, I do believe that there's more good going on in the world than bad. Otherwise, you know, we would have destroyed ourselves by now. And you know, the blessing and the curse of technology is we see everything instantaneously. And the caution that I have to, you know, look in the mirror and say, Clay,
thank you.
If you go into fear, you're going to go down.
And, thank you.
You know, fear is a choice. Now let's stand up and let's go. We know what's right. We know where that is. That spark is with our. So that's what we need to show up with. That's what Clay Boykin needs to show up with. And that's what I'm. That's my intention. That's where I made my commitment.
Oh God, that's wonderful. That really excites me because this is. I look around that room when I'm in the circles of men, and I've now been there about a month, a little over a month, I think maybe. And I look around that circle and I see people. I see men of so many of different ages. Of different ethnicities, of different levels of income, of different levels of education, and of different political persuasions. And I see that commonality that you're talking about of how it makes me hopeful, helps me, it reminds me that there is more that we have in common than we have differences, and that we can take those differences and we can air them and work together to find something better than either one of us could have come up with by ourselves.
Well, and to be in that safe space where we're not judging one another. There's no yes, but going on in there. It's all, like you said earlier, yes, and
God,
getting that
wonderful
practice and sharing with one another and that approach to communicating, that starts there, and it goes outside of that room and ripples out. You know, certainly we've got the, you know, back into the, you know, patriarchal system and so forth. But we're coming out a little bit, I'm not going to say armed, but we're a bit more whole.
Oh, lovely.
We're showing
more
up a
vulnerable.
Bit more.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about this woman who is the interim CEO of Unity. Now, Unity, for if I understand it, I mean, I came from the metaphysical wing of Christianity. That's where I came through Christian Science, which then Unity, Myrtle Fillmore and Charles Fillmore, I understand, started Unity, and that's the wing of the metaphysical Christianity, and so out of this has a CEO, and what was her name?
Her name is Reverend Patricia Bass.
All right, so tell me about your experience and your interaction with Reverend Bass.
Well, first of all, it was wonderful. I was thinking, you know, a couple of weeks ago, how in the world am I going to get to her and get the message that I really, it's time for us to talk? And I thought, who do I know that knows her? And, well, long story short, I thought, well, we're both on Facebook, so let me message her. And about 20 minutes later, she said, well, hi, Clay. And we set up the meeting.
Oh.
And so we had a wonderful hour together. The main thing that I wanted to share with her, and you're right, unity and is within the New Thought movement, if you will, New Thought tradition.
But of Christianity. Now, this is really important.
Right.
This is part of Christianity. They are deeply embedded in the Christian tradition.
With an acceptance of all religious traditions and all paths. And a deep respect.
Which, from my understanding of Jesus and everything that I've ever read about him or the words, was exactly what he did.
Right. And so my intention in talking with Reverend Bass was to share and raise her consciousness of what all we've been doing over the past 8 years. I shared with her that we're the largest men's organization, if you will, within all of Unity around the world.
Wow.
And now that I really have an essence of what my direction is in it with the New Compassionate Male Initiative, now it's time to talk. Now I know where I'm aiming, and to be able to share that with her, not going in with any other agenda, but raising the consciousness and knowing that all is in divine order. And that things will come from this that doesn't have to be forced, that the right things will happen, the right people will come together, because with this common understanding, we're all aiming at a similar point or the same point. And
yeah.
So I had the opportunity to share that, share the background, share the history, share stories that of the deep sharing and healing that happens in that circle. When a man comes in when less than 24 hours prior, he's lost his wife of 30 some odd years. The first place he turns, he comes in to the circle. He said, I had to be here with my brothers.
That morning.
That's right.
He happened that morning. I was there, and it was one of the holiest experiences of my life.
We sat with him. We weren't sitting there feeling sorry for him or trying to cheer him up or anything.
Nope.
No, we were holding space for him to listen deeply to, you know, face it. Most of the time, all I want to be is heard. I don't want to be fixed. I don't want somebody to diminish the pain that I'm in. And that's what the circle did. They heard, they listened, and he laughed and told things that were great. He cried. He shared pictures. He processed. And the thing was that he had 20 guys in that circle who were witness to where he was in his total brokenness of losing the love of his life and helping, well, being present for him to evolve through the stages and begin to move through the stages of grief.
Yep.
And to help nurture, to be there to nurture that, to embrace him.
Oh, that was so, and it is so, you know, because I've really, this is the thing, as you and I have talked for so many times, I have had such a challenge trusting men. This is, I've had very strong relationships and bonds over the course of my 71 plus years with women, but men, it's been a very hard time trusting men, and this has just been such a wonderful experience for me to be able to grow this part of my consciousness, because I see and I can understand when I do not trust men, I'm going to be in a competitive, what was it, remember Ram Dass said something like that, that when you don't trust men is that you look at men as you look at people as either makeable, a competitor for someone who's potentially makeable, or irrelevant.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and that's it. I mean, you just put people into that. And so this the new compassionate male breaks it into entire so that I can be show up wholly as who I am, whoever that is, that I am a being in progress, not a stasis. A being as a permanent addition, but actually as an evolving, and that's where I see the new compassionate male. It's a verb, not a noun.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. And this isn't a bunch of guys having, you know, going off into la la land. This is real life.
No, there is. Are you kidding?
This does not get any more real
than that. Yeah.
That's right.
This is the real stuff.
And, you know, some nights we sit there and we can be shallow like the next bunch of guys.
Baby, I can be shallow. I can be shallow with the shallowest.
But as shallow as we are, we're twice as deep. And when a circle of men can sit, 20 guys sit in a circle, you know, look, face it. Given our ages, add all of our ages up around that circle, there's over 1,000 life years of experience that we've all had together. There's something that you know, and that by you sharing your story, your hero's journey, that sparks an idea or a thought, oh, that's what Dennis said. That's what happened with him. Oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only person in the world that had that experience. And to be able just to have that recognition, and it may just be a word or two that another man says, or it could be a knowing nod across the room when there's a sharing, or a wink, or just the silence after I've shared something deep within, that silence that nobody feels like they've got to jump in there, and we feel that message, we feel the energy, and in that silence, we're honoring him. And we're honoring that, knowing that there's nothing to be said. We don't have to fill that. We've filled it with a sacred silence, and that's the holding space that happens. Tell me, where in the world could I go and experience that in my almost 66 years of life? Nowhere.
We put a pin in it right there. And we will continue on the next episode. There'll be a way, please look on the console for a way to support Clay in this so that we all can expand and know. Clay, thank you again for your friendship, for your love. I love you. We'll talk with you the next time.
Thank you, Dennis.